It's draft day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Thank you so much for being with us. We're all sorts of fired up. And look who's here, my girl, Mina Kimes, NFL analyst.
Mina,
so good to see you. Check out Mina every day on NFL Live. We need her expertise this morning because we got a lot to unpack. Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith, I'm Molly Karam Rose. Guys, let's look at some mocks, shall we? All right, so Mel Kiper's final mock draft prediction has Mac Jones to the Niners at 3, Lance to the Patriots at 7, after a trade with the Lions, and Justin Fields, number 9 at the Broncos. Todd McShay's final mock draft, hot off the presses. Marinate on this one. No surprise, Trevor Lawrence at 1, but a surprise at 3. Look where Trey Lance is headed, the Niners in the 3 spot. Mac Jones is the Vegas oddsmaker's favorite to go 3rd to the Niners, but Trey Lance is right behind the former Alabama quarterback. We've been hearing all week the Niners, who traded up to the 3rd spot, will take Jones. Now Todd is saying, Trey, Stephen A., what should San Francisco do with that pick, in your opinion?
To me, it should be Justin Fields or it should be Trey Lance. What you need is an athletic quarterback. I don't think you need to have a stationary target at the quarterback position. That's just of the mindset that I am. I hear all the noise about Mac Jones, and I'm a fan of Mac Jones. I saw what he did at Alabama, and obviously his ability to process, to go through his progressions, to read plays, to sort of see what's coming before it actually happens. This is the kind of things that you've been hearing about him. I can certainly understand where Kyle Shanahan is coming from, but it's the year 2021, and the reality is that in most instances, you know, you're hard pressed to believe you're going to see another Tom Brady, another Drew Brees, a stationary quarterback per se that's really, really capable of making the kind of noise those two greats, all-time greats, have been able to make throughout their illustrious careers. Moving forward, watching the game and seeing what we see, I just think that you're hard pressed to look at it from that perspective and think that you're going to get similar results. I think in the case of a Trey Lance, I think in the case of a Justin Fields, these guys have shown they can throw the football. More importantly, they've got wheels. They can extend plays. They can make plays with their legs. And I think that if you're the San Francisco 49ers, that's the direction you should go in. I'm not saying that's what I think they will do, but I think that's what they should do. It should be Justin Fields or it should be Trey Lance.
I think Justin Fields is the best pick there, but I don't think they need to pick Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I think they have to pick whoever Shanahan identifies as the guy he's going to hang his hat on as a head coach. Because now for the first time, not in a trade market or free agency or as an assistant, but as a head coach, he's going to get to say, okay, we traded up to 3. We'd have to trade up to 3 probably to get Mac Jones, right? To decide our own fate. And I want that guy. And that's what they should do. When you prepare to make a move in chess, you don't chicken out at the last second. You make the move. You've already made the preparations. Now, that said, I mean, Mac Jones, the way people are talking about the way he processes information and the way he better be able to read like a Talmudic scholar, you know, like a Supreme Court justice's clerk. He better be able to read like no one's business, because everyone is talking about the way he processes information. Okay, Kyle Shanahan, that's who you want. That's who you should go get. And I would say, Stephen A., I believe you touched on this yesterday. I think there's some people are a little gun shy, maybe on Justin Fields because of Dwayne Haskins, because, oh, we saw a quarterback from there who looked like a talented passer and didn't pan out. And I was high on Dwayne Haskins. But the difference is Dwayne Haskins was not mobile, and Dwayne Haskins had a thin resume. He did not start very much. Justin Fields is a different kind of situation. I would draft Justin Fields if he slips. A team like the Bears would be fools not to go grab him, in my opinion. But Mina, at this pick, Shanahan, if they've prepared to make a move, make your move and hang your hat on that guy. If it's Mac Jones, it's Mac Jones.
Look, I really don't like to criticize Kyle Shanahan. I think he's the most brilliant play caller in the NFL. But he's the most brilliant play caller in the NFL, not the most brilliant quarterback evaluator. You can look at his history of preferring Kirk Cousins over the likes of Watson and Mahomes back in 2017. What has he done to make you think this is something he excels at, Max? And beyond that, I agree with Stephen A. and it sounds like you about Justin Fields, and I'm befuddled, frankly, as to what has happened between now and one of the greatest college football performances I have seen in recent history that's made him slide down boards. If you look at the quarterbacks who have thrived in recent years and had success in the NFL, they have all of the qualities Justin Fields has, the qualities that cannot be coached. accuracy, athleticism, arm strength. Okay, yes, he needs to quicken his process. That's something he can improve upon in the NFL. You know what you don't see when you look at those last 10 years of quarterbacks who have been drafted and succeeded in the NFL? Pocket passers who can't move. Name me one. Name me one. All I ask is one pocket passer drafted in the last 10 years who has been great. Heck, one pocket passer, and by the way, when we're talking pocket passers, Joe Burrow can move, Justin Herbert can move, so get out of there with that. One pocket passer who has gotten a second contract from the team who drafted him in the first round. It's Jared Goff, and we know how that works. So in picking Mac Jones, which it seems like where there's going because Kyle Shanahan knows best, and you look, you know what, that's his prerogative. They are going against recent history. They are making a big bet. Stephen A. mentioned Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Those are the only two, quote-unquote, immobile quarterbacks who finished top 10 in QBR. Are you betting that Mac Jones is Tom Brady or Drew Brees? I would be nervous making that bet.
And let's also keep this in mind, Mina and Max, let's get something straight here. Do you understand how important this pick is for the San Francisco 49ers? We've been raving about Kyle Shanahan and all this stuff. And Mina, I am not here to question this man's credentials. This man is an exceptional play caller. He's won more games than he lost. We respect the hell out of him as an offensive mind, and he's somebody that has earned his stripes in the National Football League. I'm not trying to cast those kind of aspersions, but we do have an obligation to point out some facts. Number one, if you make the wrong pick and things don't work out, let's understand something here. You will have had four losing seasons. For example, if you don't win next season, you will have had four losing seasons in Shanahan and Lynch's 5 years in San Francisco. We talk about these folks like they Super Bowl champions. They lost that damn Super Bowl, okay? They're not champions. They got to the championship game. They got to the Super Bowl, but they didn't win it. They had a 10-point lead. They couldn't hold it. Now, what does Kyle Shanahan is what is he primarily known for outside of his play calling? He's the same offensive play caller that had a 25-point lead in a Super Bowl and blew it. He's the same offensive coordinator that had a 10-point lead in another Super Bowl and blew it. This man has gotten outscored by 40 in Super Bowls after having a lead. Okay? Those are two championships that escaped him. So while we sit here and we talk about him like he's the second coming of Vince Lombardi, let's remember there's no rings to show for that. And primarily it's because you had quarterbacks and your play calling with Atlanta and New England. We all know they should have ran the ball instead of throwing the football. That's on him. You know, I understand the defense couldn't stop Brady, but you could stop the bleeding to some degree. You could milk the clock. You could slow it down. You could make sure you're milking the clock or whatever. He didn't do that. And with Jimmy Garoppolo, you knew what you had. Okay, you had a 10-point lead. You couldn't stave them off. All I'm trying to say is that when you look at it from that perspective, that makes the importance of this situation, this particular draft pick, exponentially more important. And we got to pay attention to that. We can't ignore it. They better get this right. They better get this right.
The loss to New England, Stephen, is so instructive because Kyle Shanahan didn't lose that game. Jimmy Garoppolo lost that game. Kyle Shanahan dialed up perfect plays. Jimmy Garoppolo had
talking about the Kansas City.
Wide open. Kansas City. As we're looking towards this decision, that's a perfect example of distinguishing Kyle Shanahan, the play caller, from Kyle Shanahan, the quarterback evaluator. Because exactly. He dialed up a perfect game, and his quarterback, who he picked, let him down. So when we look at his record and his ability to make the right decision here, again, to me, play calling, I have no questions. I will not question that man. Yes, he made mistakes in the Super Bowl with Atlanta, but evaluating, I think we're totally justified in questioning what he's done there, and the Super Bowl that you referred to is perfect evidence for that.
Mina, I want you to respond to this because you touched on it earlier, okay? Are you betting he's Tom Brady? Are you betting he's Drew Brees? We've seen Peyton Manning. The game, my point is this. I don't mean are you betting Mac Jones? What I'm saying is the game has changed, right? And the more things you can do, the better player you're likely to be, right? If you have diverse skills. But my point is there will be another Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, highly successful quarterback. As leagues change, we can still see a back-to-the-basket dominant player in basketball or a singles and doubles hitter who gets on base a lot in baseball, who doesn't strike out a lot. That's still possible. So if the teams pass on that kind of guy constantly, you'll never find him.
Well, But you know why it's harder to find one now, Max, is the NFL has changed. Your window has changed. Peyton Manning was bad as a rookie. We forget this. We write this out of history. Historically, pocket passers in the NFL have had time to develop. That, unfortunately, is no longer the case anymore, which is why a Josh Rosen rushes out of the league immediately, whereas right. mobile guys can use Molly, their legs those first 2 years like Josh Allen did
forward,
and then develop.
All right, let's move this forward because there's other subjects we need to get to. We'll have more on this a little bit later, but this is a debate show. The number one pick, no debate at all. We know who that is. That guy with the fantastic hair, Clemson's Trevor Lawrence, leading his Tigers to two national championships, winning one, will go number one overall to Urban Meyer's Jacksonville Jaguars. Max, is Trevor Lawrence more likely to meet expectations or underachieve with Jacksonville?
Underachieve. And that's not negative commentary about what I think about Trevor Lawrence. It's really commentary about the expectations. Guys, I don't want to be the bad guy here, but you look for comps, right? The last time there was a guy who checked every single box at the levels we've seen from Trevor Lawrence, and maybe not even quite from Trevor Lawrence, but that guy was Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck was one of my favorite quarterbacks. Loved watching him. And I expected great things from him. And we got very good things from him. Andrew Luck had a very good career. But if he didn't disappoint, then what he did was just reach his floor in terms of expectations, and barely. That's how great the expectations were. The remarkable thing about LeBron James is not simply that he's on most lists right behind Michael Jordan as the greatest player who ever lived. It's that it was improbable that given the expectations of his amateur status, he could ever live up to them. And the fact is, he surpassed them. That is rare. That's not the rule. That's the exception. So Trevor Lawrence may wind up having a legitimately great career. And when we look back, we say, that dude was supposed to be one of the greatest who ever lived. And he was just, you know, a five-time Pro Bowler. We expected more. I would say more likely to underachieve relative to the expectations.
I disagree with you. I think you're wrong. And I think you're wrong because of Andrew Luck, and I think you're wrong because of Peyton Manning. I would remind everybody that Peyton Manning retired as one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived. His rookie year, he completed 56% of his passes in 1998 and threw a league-high 28 interceptions. You know, he struggled his rookie year. I think when you look at Andrew Luck, his rookie year, even though they went 11-5, if I remember correctly, he only completed like 54% of his passes. There were things that you saw and you said, all right, he's got a lot to learn. But in the end, you had people crying about the fact that he had abruptly announced his retirement because they looked at the Indianapolis Colts, assuming they were going to be led by him because he had basically, you know, graduated from some of the injuries that he had suffered. And they thought, hey, we've got a Super Bowl contender here. We've got somebody to rival the Patrick Mahomes and others. And then he ended up choosing not to play and announcing his retirement after a preseason game. The reality of the situation is that when you look at Trevor Lawrence and you combine that with the greatness that we've seen, albeit on the collegiate level, from Urban Meyer, I definitely think when you look at Trevor Lawrence, his height, his ability to look over opposing defensive linemen, and even over his own offensive line, the vision that he'll have because of that, the arm strength. And by the way, he showed in college on several occasions, including the National College Football Playoffs, that he's got some wheels on him himself. He can run with the football, not just throw. I think you take all of those things into consideration, his height, his football IQ, his visibility, his arm strength, how he can read through his progressions, how he can make and extend plays, his pocket presence and awareness. It's not an accident that when a draft where you literally have five guys at the quarterback position who are considered talented enough to take in the top 10, there has never been a debate at all as to who's going to be the number one overall pick in this draft. We knew Trevor Lawrence was going to be number one 2 years ago after his freshman year. It was all about when he was going to enter the draft, and whenever he was coming out, that was when he was going number one. That's how good he is. I expect him to live up to those expectations, so that's what I meet expectations is the route I will go. He ain't underachieving. I don't think it's in him to underachieve.
Mina, where are you?
Well, it depends where the bar is. I mean, if the bar is, you know, John Elway, Peyton Manning, who's being comped to, I am taking the under because I am a realist and live on planet Earth. And everything Steven said is right about Trevor Lawrence, his skill set, why he's the unambiguous number one overall pick. But here's the thing. For a quarterback to have that kind of Hall of Fame career, it's not just about the quarterback. A lot of things have to go right. Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time. He also ended up with the greatest football coach of all time. Trevor Lawrence is going to Jacksonville, a franchise that not only hasn't had that history of success, but has a guy in Urban Meyer who's never had success in the NFL. They have a first-time defensive coordinator. There's a reason they have the number one overall pick. They had the second-worst defense by efficiency in the league last season. Now, does that mean I think Trevor's going to be unsuccessful? Of course not. I think he's fantastic. But the idea that he's already on track for this Brady-esque, Elway-esque career, given what we know about quarterbacks and how context-dependent they are, I'll bet against that.
Stephen A., how many number one overall picks in recent years have turned out to be great? When you look at the greatest quarterbacks in the game today, Mahomes didn't go number one
overall.
Can
I answer that?
Deshaun, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Like, stop me when you hear a number one overall pick.
I'm telling you, I don't give a damn. I'm saying he's the exception. That's my point. I'm not talking about somebody just because they're being picked number one. Listen, I cover the sport of basketball. I remember guys like Kwame Brown and Michael Olowokandi going number one overall. I understand that just because you're the number one overall pick, that doesn't mean you're going to be successful. But I'm talking about Trevor Lawrence specifically. And Mina, let me throw this at you, Mina. You know, technology has advanced. Football minds have advanced. Football aficionados have advanced. I consider you one of them. Love your work. You know what the hell you're talking about. I would ask you this. Matthew Stafford is like 74 and 90. Can't win a playoff game to save his damn life. Okay. Only completed 62% of his passes in his career. Nobody questions his greatness, if I remember correctly, because we understand what you just said, that the people around him, coaches, organizations, and to some degree players, we don't look at Matthew Stafford and say, ah, he's nothing. No, we say, damn, he's going to be in a better situation. Why do you think Max and mine, I mean, everybody's been talking about the Los Angeles
Rams? Go ahead, Mina. Go ahead, because I have an answer to that, too.
Yeah, you're asking me why does situation matter so much for quarterbacking success?
Yeah, I'm just talking about what you said in terms of Matthew Stafford, I'm using as an example.
Trevor Lawrence and why I doubt him because he's ending up in Jacksonville. So Max mentioned Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest I've ever seen do it. I feel comfortable saying that. He's not the greatest quarterback of all time. He hasn't achieved enough, but just pure talent. If Patrick Mahomes doesn't end up in Kansas City, he might not be. I truly believe that because the quarterback position, more than any other sport, you brought up basketball, baseball, whatever, depends so much on your surroundings, your coach, your system, the franchise, your offensive line, the guys you end up with. And that's why, forget Trevor Lawrence, even if Trevor Lawrence was better, I still wouldn't predict that he would be the greatest all time, John Elway level, because he's going to Jacksonville, because he's playing with a head coach who has never had success in the NFL. That is a huge risk.
Only because he hasn't done it yet.
A bigger risk than Trevor Lawrence.
Failed in the NFL. This is his first go round.
All right, word here.
I agree with you about the coaching situation, too. I'm glad you brought up that point. It's been on my mind, too. But let me say this, Stephen A., and Mina, I disagree with you here. I think there are certain quarterbacks who would be independently great no matter where they went. It's an issue of degree. So Mahomes, the degree of his greatness is greater in Kansas City than very, very few of those guys. The vast majority fall in the range of they're a different kind of talent. And if they go to a bad situation, we won't think a lot of them. Stephen A., I disagree with. The question is Trevor Lawrence Patrick Mahomes level talent? I don't know. There's only been like two guys I've ever seen like that, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. That's it. So that's the first question. The next question is this, Stephen A., about Matthew Stafford. Actually, this year is fascinating as it relates to Matthew Stafford because we'll start to get answers. Is this elite talent that has underachieved in terms of wins and losses, is that more about Detroit or now that he's in a great situation? Actually, does that have something to do with Stafford?
Question. Just called them elite.
Yeah, to Mina's point, the situation certainly matters. And you guys talked about where's the bar for these expectations. It's very low. Since 2011, the Jags have the worst total QBR in the National Football League. I'd also like to point out, Max, you're not the smartest person on the show today. We have Mina here, another Ivy Leaguer, and she's staying.
Never the smartest person.
And she's going to.
I'm always the smartest person on every show.
Mina, buckle up. You're about to meet Southern Steve.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Zach Attack is coming to the Big Apple after the Jets are expected to make him the second overall pick tonight, but not so fast, as Mina Kimes in her mock draft. She's raising some eyebrows at number two, believes the Jets should take Justin Fields over Wilson. Stephen A., are you sold on Wilson in New York?
Hell no. I'm not. Now, let me be very, very clear, because I'm quite sure the Wilson family is watching somewhere. I mean, First Take's First Take. You know how we roll. So I want to make sure that I declare to the Wilson family, I wish you nothing but the best. I'm certainly not rooting against them. I don't know them from a can of paint. I've never met the kid, and I wish him all the best. I sincerely hope that he succeeds. And it does strike me, it does take me a bit back or give me cause to pause when I see that the Jets have basically had him pinned in, not even penciled, pinned in, as the number two overall pick for the last couple of months. But I would remind everybody, he was at BYU. He wasn't a member of the Power Five conferences. Obviously, you know, COVID protocols and all of that other stuff that a lot of programs had to deal with. Wasn't the same at BYU. People getting tested every day. They got tested about three times a week. When you consider the level of competition that they went against, far more often than not, they were the superior team. I saw in the film that I've seen Zach Wilson massive pockets to throw the football. Wide receivers that seemed bigger and stronger than defenders going up against them. And then I look at the level of competition. That does matter to me. When I think about Justin Fields at Ohio State and what he was able to do, and I think about Trevor Lawrence at Clemson and what he was able to do, when I think about Mac Jones at Alabama and what he was able to do, then we get to Zach Wilson, who, by the way, just the previous year was 7-6, had completed about 62% of his passes, had like 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Nobody was talking about him at all. Now, the next year, 2020 arrives, and the numbers, 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But, Mina, help me out here, my dear. Help me out here, because I need your help. I need your help, Mina. All right? Navy, Troy, Louisiana Tech, UTSA. I had to look up who UTSA was because I forgot. Houston, Texas State, not Texas, Texas State. Western Kentucky, not Kentucky. Western Kentucky. Boise State, okay. Not Alabama. Not Alabama. North Alabama, okay. Coastal Carolina. And by the way, they lost that game to Coastal Carolina, okay?
Yeah.
And San Diego State, and of course, UCF. Forgive me. Forgive me. All I'm saying about Zach Wilson is, I appreciate what the film shows. I appreciate your skill set. I'm happy you're going to clearly be a first-round pick. But number two overall, with that cupcake schedule, I mean, I might go to a cupcake shop right here while I'm in L.A. Mm-hmm. and find tougher cupcakes than the competition that
Try
this brother
sprinkles.
Went against in 2020. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Can I ask that question?
BYU's produced some pretty good quarterbacks, notably Steve freaking Young, who was only probably my favorite quarterback to watch as a kid, right?
By the way, Max Wilson, he was on Stephen A's World. He was on Stephen A's World the other day, raving raving about Zach Wilson.
Yeah, so where can we find Stephen A's world, by the way?
ESPN Plus, baby. You know
ESPN
where it goes.
Plus,
but the point that I'm
saying,
Steve Young was raving about him, and Steve Young knows I understand. But I still asked him the same question.
Well, look, he mentioned Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Mina, you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, best you've ever seen. Me too. I've seen a lot. Patrick Mahomes, best I've ever seen. The competition, and it's close, is Aaron Rodgers with my own eyeballs, right? Like, and maybe because I'm undervaluing decision-making and that's what Brady does better than anyone, but they make the, oh, my God, they didn't just do that kind of plays all the time. All the time, those two guys. Zach Wilson looks at those guys. I'll give you another one because I think this guy is in. I think after the next name I'm going to mention, there's no one else quite like them. That's Justin Herbert. I didn't see it in college like this, but in the pros, I see Justin Herbert. I go, no, he didn't just do that. Oh, my God. This kid is so good. When my eyes are on Zach Wilson, and I did not watch him a lot when he actually played, Stephen A., like you on YouTube afterwards, better than Justin Fields. Are people crazy? And then I watch it. And maybe it's because it's you know, I'm watching a select portion, and so it's his most. But, yeah, my eyes are on him. I go, yeah. As a matter of fact, I almost envy the Jets. Because they get to take him. They're not essentially forced to take Trevor Lawrence. You're forced to take him. Trevor Lawrence checks every box. You have to take him. If I were the Jets, I'd secretly kind of be psyched that I'm picking second and get to take Zach Wilson. That's how much I think of his talent. And even though everything you said is right about the competition, Stephen A., sometimes it's like the Gladwell blink test. You go, whoa, what was that? That's how I feel about Zach Wilson.
You mentioned Justin Fields. Using SPS Plus, which is how we measure defensive strength, Justin Fields played the hardest schedule of any quarterback of, like, the last 10 years. Zach Wilson, of the FBS quarterbacks, the easiest this season. I, too, think he looks like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes sometimes when he throws the football. And if he was playing 7-on-7 instead of the NFL, Max, I would say he's bound for a Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers-like career. But he's not. And, in fact, not only is he leaving behind the comfortable confines of BYU, where when I went back and watched those games, Houston, Coastal, Stephen A's Rise, probably the best team they played, an offensive team, and they lost. I don't just marvel at Zach Wilson. I marvel at the BYU offensive line because those grown men were building a wall in front of him. Do you know what doesn't exist in New York? A wall. Not even like half a wall. They got Mekhi Becton, and that's about it on that offensive line. So while I see the traits and I absolutely think there is a chance they translate to the NFL at some point, Zach Wilson is in for a rude awakening because of the team he's going to, which was in that place to draft him for a reason, and how bad that offensive line is. Like, name an offensive lineman other than Becton on the Jets that you feel good about. It's really hard. Probably can't. Zach Wilson's got to be looking at that. He got to be worried.
I'm going to say it again. You know, Mina, I've been trying to do better. You know, I lost some pounds. I've been cutting down on the sugar. You know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle, but I've been trying to hang tough, Mina. And, you know, one of my favorite things to chew on is these granola minis, okay? And you know, I got one in my hand I'm getting ready to chew on right now because they're healthy and they taste great.
They don't have sugar?
But a little bit, Max, just a little bit, but not as much, right? My point is they're rough. They're rough. This is rougher than the competition that Zach Wilson went against last season. You understand what I'm saying? This is rougher. These mini granolas are rougher than the competition Zach Wilson went against. And maybe it's because of that offensive line that you talked about, Mina. But the bottom line is, it ain't that tough. It wasn't that tough for him.
But you know who the defensive coaches are in the AFC East? Bill Belichick. Brian Flores, Sean McDermott, they are salivating, and that granola little piece is not only rough, it's tiny. Zach Wilson's tiny, y'all. Like, we don't talk about that much, but he is slight.
Yeah, he's slight, but meaning he's 6'3".
Prospect.
He's 6'3", and he's young. He'll put on some weight.
I'm telling you, when you watch the games, I do not buy for a second that they're 6'3".
I think your points are very good about the competition. The points about the competition are good, and Mina, your points about watching the offensive line at BYU, which I wasn't, you know, is a good one if they're building walls, and that's not going to be the case
you
with the Jets.
Know better,
but, you
Max.
Know, that's we're talking about this upcoming season. You know what happens then if the Jets are bad again? Then they get a very high draft pick, and guess what they'll do with it? They'll draft a really good offensive lineman, and they'll free up some cap space, and they'll sign a really good offensive
you
lineman.
You should know better
as
a boxing analyst.
We're not talking about this upcoming season. We're talking about Zach Wilson for his career. My prediction is he's going to be really good.
And you, like you said, Max, covering boxing. It's a whole bunch of people that look pretty, shadow boxing and everything else, until they get hit. And he is going to get hit playing for the New York Jets. You forgot about that?
Yeah, the jury's still out.
Little 6'3", 209.
Max, even though they could maybe pick again at quarterback, I don't think they want to keep doing this experiment. They just had this with Sam Darnold if they're trying to build a team.
No, not quarterback. I'm saying O-line, Bobby. I'm saying O-line.
Yeah, but they need to get it right. They haven't been to the playoffs in over 10 years. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. After the Niners at third overall, the Falcons may have the most important pick in this draft at 4. Take a look at Todd McShay's mock draft. He has Atlanta taking Jerry Jones. Favorite Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida. Mel Kiper also has the Falcons taking Pitts in his final mock draft. Mina back here with us. Max, you have an interesting perspective on this 4th pick. Tell me, what do you think Atlanta should do?
Well, look. There's no draft where 5 franchise quarterbacks come out, right? Like, tell me a draft. Show me a draft where you have 5 franchise quarterbacks. They came out in the same draft. You're not. No, not everyone's going to hit on all these guys just because there are 5 names that seem to have separated themselves. So I would say this. As you know, I like Zach Wilson a lot, and I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be at least really good. The only other guy in this draft where I look at him and I go, he's going to be a good quarterback, is Justin Fields. And I think if you're the Chicago Bears and you've never had a good quarterback, I mean, I was mentioning BYU quarterbacks, Jim McMahon, right? Stephen A., they won the Super Bowl with him. He wasn't great as a pro. He's all right. And he comes out and says the Packers were a better organization than the Bears to play for. He was a third stringer when Favre won the Super Bowl. He started on the greatest team of all time when the Bears won the Super Bowl in 85. The Bears have been such a sad sack team when it comes to quarterbacks. My entire life. I'm not a Bears fan. I'm a Giants fan, but I feel for Bears fans. They're football obsessed, and they never get a quarterback. If Justin Fields is not taken in the top 3, and I don't think he will be, and the Bears were willing to give up all that draft capital and players to go grab Russell Wilson, who I understand is a proven commodity, although not paid like a rookie quarterback, obviously, then you would think less than they'd have to give up for Russell Wilson would let them trade into the Falcons slot and grab the quarterback, the best available guy. I think Justin Fields will be sitting there. I think he can be a franchise quarterback, and the Bears can't get gun-shy because they blew it with Trubisky, right? They can't keep selling Andy Dalton and the like to that fan base every season. They got to draft a franchise quarterback, trade up, draft Justin Fields.
It's a tough one for me because I don't necessarily disagree with you. I understand where you're coming from because even though Matt Ryan's got 3 years left on this deal, they can easily let him go in 2022, and we understand that, and they can move towards the future. He is 35 years of age, by the way. They could choose to do that. But here's what I think about, Max. First of all, your tight end spot, I think it was the kid Hurts. I mean, he couldn't get open down the field. He was supposed to be an upgrade and athletic and speedy, but couldn't get open when it really, really counted, particularly down the field, and that hurt him. So you think about Pitts obviously being the elite generational kind of talent at the tight end spot that he is. That's one option that you could go to, all right? And that would just buffer a passing attack that was already top five. I think it was ranked fifth passing attack, because you had Julio Jones, you had Calvin Ridley, you had Matt Ryan throwing for over 4,500 yards. Struggled in the red zone, but between the 20s, obviously he was completing a lot of his passes. Here's what I think about, though. What was the real problem with Atlanta? There are many problems. None more so than their secondary. They ranked dead last against the pass. And so when you think about a guy like Surtain coming out of Alabama, he talking about how the Dallas Cowboys should get him at number 10. Who's to say he's going to fall to number 10? Because if you're talking about buffering your defense, with the exception of an elite pass rusher that wreaks total havoc against you and your opposing quarterbacks, how about shutting down one side of the field because you got an elite corner? That's going to vastly improve your secondary. I'm sorry? A Surtain four?
You're talking about taking him out, trading him down, and taking a haul, I mean, right?
I'm not saying they should. Please don't get me wrong.
Sorry.
Because I understand Pitts is generational. I get that. I truly do. All I'm trying to say is that if you look at how they struggled, they were the worst pass defense in the National Football League. And if you Matt Ryan, you could sit there and say, look, offensively, we putting up points. We moving the football. We got a top five ranked passing attack. Excuse me, could you get some stops for us and stop asking us to score 30 points a game in order to win a damn football game? You could make that argument. I don't think it'll happen. I think it'll more likely be Pitts or a quarterback, like you said. But I would also say, damn, when you look at their pass defense, grabbing an elite corner might be the answer.
I don't think you're wrong about that. Sorry to jump the gun. I was going to say Surtain at four is a reach, but Surtain later on, getting some additional draft capital is sorely needed for a defense that was terrible last year. And now they've got Dean Pease coming out of retirement, which I think has been quietly an underrated move by this team. Atlanta upgraded in a big way on coaching. This team is going to be better than they were last year just because of they got unlucky in close games, which is usually a sign you're going to be a better football team. And now they've got Arthur Smith, terrific play caller, Dean Pease, legendary defensive coach, coming to town. They should be better situated to take advantage of the talent they have. But on the defensive side of the ball, unlike the offense, Stephen A., you're 100% right. The talent is lacking because it's not just the secondary. They need help at edge. They need help at safety. They need help at linebacker. So while I understand the temptation of going all in on defense and going shock and awe with Kyle Pitts and just trying to win games by scoring 40 points, we saw that last year. Dallas did it the first four games of the season, and they lost most of them despite scoring 38 points with a better quarterback in Dak Prescott. So if Atlanta is not willing to take Justin Fields, which frankly would be my preference, but what they've done pushing Matt Ryan's money out signifies they're going to ride with him. I actually think sticking with defense, trading down, building on that side of the ball would be a really smart approach.
Right, and if they trade down, it's like the Bears are picking like 20th. And in the second round also, the 20th pick. Right in the second round. The Bears have enough draft capital, I would think, to move up, to put a package together, to move up and grab a franchise quarterback and also give the Falcons enough draft capital to round out the roster on defense with impact players. That's what should happen here.
But not just the Bears. I mean, shoot, Denver and Carolina should also be fighting with each other for a quarterback, the quarterback of their choice, if Fields is available there. If I'm Atlanta, I put a giant for sale sign on that number four pick. I say, yeah, you can wait till seven, you can wait till nine and see who's available, or you can jump all these teams that need quarterbacks, including the Patriots, and get the guy you want, okay? Because they shouldn't settle for the 20th pick. They should get seven or nine, and then they can get Surtain or one of the better defensive players.
But why would they make that trade, Mina, when they're likely to get, you know, a good chance at least, that they can get their guy without making that deal? They're close enough, and when you look at the needs of teams, they're probably going to get something like what they want without making that deal. The Bears are the team that should be more desperate, number one, and number two, got to make something happen. They ain't going to get who they want just sitting there at 20.
True.
Man, there are so many teams, in my opinion, that need quarterbacks in this draft. the Broncos, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Patriots. We could throw out Washington because they seem uninterested. All four of those teams should be trading up for a quarterback. I don't think they all will, but all four of them should. If you're one of those teams and you have a player in mind, if Justin Fields is available at four, do whatever it takes. Denver, you're a quarterback away from competing. Chicago, as Max laid out, you've been in hell the last few decades. Okay, to miss out on a quarterback in this draft, what do you have to look forward
Mina,
to this season if you're a Bears fan, if you don't get a quarterback?
Pushing all her chips in.
Yeah, I don't think
risk high reward. I like how you roll, Mina. She's not playing around. Let's go for it.
I think the Panthers like their guy. I think they think they have the quarterback.
I don't.
Agreed.
I disagree.
All right, Mina, before we let you go, where can people watch you? Give us the podcast shows, all that good stuff.
Well, I got a podcast, Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, but NFL Live is at 3 p.m. today. 2 hours of draft coverage. Check us out on ESPN.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.